our hearts and minds are open to hear your word and receive your word with clarity. As the word is stopped, as an error in this atmosphere, we comprehend Christ, we see Christ as the seed of himself from the written word, we are glorified. I mean, we are edified, he is glorified through us and in us. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So this should be the fifth session we are having on study on the book of Corinth, right? This section, Matthew 28. So we begin to go into some details today. Hopefully we might start reading the book of Corinth from next week. We might start getting to chapter 1 into 4 or chapter 1 into 3 next week. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hopefully. So let's quickly look at this. Matthew 28 from verses 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given me in heaven and on earth. So go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, so teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am is with you always, even to the end of the age." Hallelujah. So he said this is Jesus' instruction within the 40 days. And Matthew records it as, go make disciples. Right? Make disciples, Matthew 2, make students. Make students. Hallelujah. So Jesus' instruction was for us to raise disciples. And we said that verse 19, so teaching, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Remember that Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is actually is a word you will not find anywhere again in scriptures. Hallelujah. Some people argue that you find it in 1 John. No, what you find is it was italicized in 1 John. It was not in the original manuscript. But yet there are three who bear witness. So that was not italicized. That was italicized from the original. So it was not found in the original. So nowhere do you find the word Father, Son, and Holy Ghost used together in a sentence or through scriptures. So it makes it debatable that Matthew didn't actually write it, didn't actually put it down that way. But notwithstanding, when they say Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, you have to read others who wrote of the same event and hear what they said, right? Hallelujah. So Mark will say, preach in my name, right? He says, preach this gospel. Go therefore and preach the gospel to every creation, right? He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who doesn't believe shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Did you see that? In Luke 24, verses 47, it says, and that repentance and remission of sins be preached in my name. Did you get it? In John, he says to them, the Bible says he breathed on them and said to them, receive ye the Holy Ghost, right? He said, whosoever sin you remit is remitted unto you. And whoever you retain is retained. Do you understand me? So you see, and that is actually the tax of God, right? As God's tax committed to man. So you know, it's just for you, when you read everything together, you discover that putting Father, Son, and Holy Ghost that you find in Matthew, you begin to look at it critically. It's not like there are three different names. No. It's in his name. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Something. It's teaching I'm looking at, we're going to we'll yet see in years to come. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. So Jesus' instruction was for men to be raised, disciples to be raised. And when you use that word, raise disciples, you say it means for how you train one in a citadel. Right, and the entry point will be what baptizing them, which is what when they believe, right? Become disciples, so be trained. And Jesus didn't just leave us like that. He now tells us in verse 20 how the raising will take place. How will it take place? The raising will take place how? Teaching them, verse 20. Right? Okay. We already said we're going to see how discipleship seminar. So we're getting there. It's teaching them. So teaching them becomes the curriculum, right? Becomes the curriculum or the curriculum for discipleship. I remember when we heard the word Matthew, we said a gathering is intended. So it means that the local church or teaching becomes a primary meeting. Teaching meeting becomes a primary meeting of the local church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Which we've been looking at, that it will be deliberate. Especially when you hear when Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, he says, study to show thyself approved. He says, a worker who doesn't need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the words of truth. So that is what ototomio logon alesia. The word used for carefulness. It shows deliberacy. Hallelujah. It shows deliberacy. So that the teaching of the word is deliberate. Are you following me? So if teaching of the word is deliberate, in 2 Timothy 3:16, I'm just giving a recap of what we've been saying. 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, which is paideia and diakosune, which is what we call spiritual growth, right? Right? It leads up to spiritual growth. So that means the teaching of the word will produce correction and spiritual growth, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, where you find growth, spiritual growth. You find it used, that word paideia. That word paideia, you find it used in Ephesians 6:4, and is used for a father and child, a father and child relationship. How the father nurtures a child, right? How a father nurtures a child. You find it there. Hallelujah. Also used in Hebrews 12, a whole lot for chastening. How you correct one for growth, to be better. So that means the teaching of the word makes us better. Do you see that? The teaching of the word makes us better. So meaning that our gathering is so that we will become better. So the local church is to better us. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. And you remember that word better is spiritual growth. So that means if the teaching of the word is deliberate, spiritual growth in the local church is deliberate. And spiritual growth cannot be found outside the local church. God will be saying things, right?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. We also said a strong local church is a local church that is strong on teaching, right? A strong local church is a local church that is strong on teaching, because the teacher will produce the practice of it, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What is this done? Okay. And we said that we'll find Jesus. He taught for 40 days. Jesus taught for 40 days after the resurrection, after the event of the resurrection. He taught them 40 days. To make you know that teaching is deliberate, he taught them 40 days. Hallelujah. After he was done teaching them, we'll find the results of the teaching. Luke 24:45. He says, and he opened his understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Did you see that? So, you know, Cleopas, we say didn't our heart burn within us when they opened to us the scriptures, when they made known to us the scriptures. Are you following me? I hope you are following me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, and we also said the apostles too were deliberate in their teaching too, right? We find in Acts of Apostles chapter 18, Paul stayed back in Corinth and taught them for 18 months. In Ephesus, he taught them 2 years, day and night. In Acts 5:42, we found that after they were warned not to preach again in the name of Jesus, the Bible says they went about and they taught them together and from house to house. You see, so they was deliberately, you know, they were not to preach in the name of Jesus, but yet they taught. So teaching is not something you do by the side in the church. No. Teaching is what you are deliberately doing. And in that teaching, there will be repetitions. Jonathan, you will learn to repeat things over and again. So, you know, I said something that if a pastor gets tired of repeating the same truth over and again, then what should that pastor? He's about to collapse. Why can't you collapse? Watch that pastor. That pastor is already backsliding. And if you are here and refuse to hear the same things over and again, means that there's something wrong with you. You are backsliding. Because the things you are hearing me say, there are a lot of things I've said that you will still have to listen to me again. Let me say it again, so that you will get a hold of what I'm saying and what I'm trying to pass, right? So there are some times I will say some things I don't want to call it half truth. I will say it in such a way that you will need to hear You need to follow the building blocks to understand what I'm talking about. You can't just take what I said today and run away with it, because you just make a mess of scriptures, right? So you have to keep listening. Follow what is being taught. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you must not be tired of foot hearing the same thing. You know, Paul warned and said the things are coming, where he's writing to Timothy, and he said where men will have itching ears. You know, it's something that you must learn to, you must come to understand as a teacher of the world, that most people don't like to hear the same thing over and again. But you know, that is the hallmark of what? Of discipleship. You must be ready to hear the same thing over and again. You must be able to hear the same thing over and again. Every week, every month, you must be able to hear the same thing. Don't sugarcoat it. Don't try to treat it. It's the same thing. Hallelujah. Any day you come here and you're not expecting to hear that Jesus resurrected, I wonder where you think you are coming to, because I always say Jesus resurrected. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Aha. So is it, the day you are not expecting me to teach about financial liberation, woohoo, except to catch me in a business seminar. But once you are coming here, it is the work of Jesus and all about him, his death, burial, and resurrection. Hallelujah. He rose. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So you must be ready to hear the same thing over and again. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So we said, you know, so teaching in the local church is deliberate. So a pastor is a teacher. Are you following me?
Yes,
sir. A pastor is a teacher. Also, what we said is that a prophet is not known by what? We said it in some sessions before. A prophet is not known by miracle signs and wonders. Rather, a prophet is known by what he says concerning Christ. So a prophet is a teacher. In fact, in Exodus 7 verse 1 into 3, the Bible shows us about who? Aaron. Aaron was to speak for Moses. I follow you. So Aaron is called a prophet because he spoke for Moses. When he to speak for Moses, that is, he Moses will speak, he will now interpret it to who? To Pharaoh. So a teacher, listen, a prophet is a teacher, right? Right?
Yes, sir.
Glory to God. Have we established that?
Yes, sir.
Now, if you now carry this and now run away, there, I don't know this now. You have to wait for the building blocks. And where is the building blocks? You have to wait till I begin to teach you pneumaticus again. Hallelujah. I will teach you pneumaticus. And how will be next 2 years? And when we get to pneumaticus, you are not even sure if this is what I will even take. Do you understand? Are you following me? So I want you to just follow it. So a prophet is a teacher now. Okay, what about an apostle? I don't know why I'm going this way. What about an apostle? Apostle is a teacher. Hallelujah. Who is an apostle? Paul. Okay, let's start from Peter. Peter, let's look at 11. Look at Acts 5, verse 2. What did they say they do? They continually taught. Did you see that? Did you see that? Hallelujah. In Acts 3, they taught. Glory to God. So an apostle is one who is sent. Sent to do what? Sent to teach men. Sent to disciple men. Do you understand me? That word apostolos is the word used for one who is sent. Like a messenger. Do you get me? An apostle. Glory to God. Which one again? Glory to God. Hallelujah. So that means we've seen that a prophet is a teacher and an interpreter. So that means a teacher is an interpreter. Is an interpreter. Paul was teaching in Acts of Apostles chapter 13, and he told them that, you know, he said, this word you read in the synagogue, he says, let's open to Acts 13. Let me show you that.
Acts 13, verse 24.
Acts 13, 27, sorry. It says, 27. Therefore, they that dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which they read continually every Sabbath, and fulfilled them in condemning.
Did you see that?
The word voices is the word used for language. Language.
There you go.
So he said they did not know it. That means they couldn't interpret it. So the qualities of a good teacher is his ability to interpret scriptures. Are you following me? Interpret scriptures and present it to his disciples, to those he's teaching in their today world. Hallelujah. So a teacher is one who stands in between the two worlds, right? His world today and the world where scriptures were written, right? And is able to interpret those words into today's language. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we said every Bible teacher is confronted with that task. Confronted with that task. So it's a task. Hallelujah. It's not tea time. Not tea time where you just go and say, just speak a verse. And Jesus wept. Jesus has wept the week. He has wept it all. Jesus wept. What is that thing you are going to? Jesus wept. But you need to connect to Jesus' weeping. Where is it? No. No. It calls a whole lot of diligence. Hallelujah. So the Bible teacher is an interpreter. Hallelujah. He's comforted with that task. Hallelujah. I will say Jesus did the same thing, right? Luke 24, verses 27. Look at how Luke will put it. He said the same thing. Look at how Luke will put it in Luke 24, verse 27. It says, and beginning. This is that beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures and things concerning himself. The beginning at Moses, at Cave Moses, and all the prophets, at Cave Moses, Kai Propheteon. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. He expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning that word expound is what diamenio. So what Jesus did within the 40 days was a diamenio on their way to Emmaus. It was a diamenio. What is a diamenio? He interpreted diamenio, we mean he started from Genesis, right? And he interpreted across scriptures the language. I mean, he interpreted across scripture what it means, right? And then in doing that, what would he do? Is that remember the word diamenio has again an undertone of what? An interpreter to interpret language. So Jesus will interpret the languages of the prophets. So the work of a Bible teacher is that same work.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That same work. Why? Why? Because we said, one, we said, why would I have to interpret? Scriptures was not written in English. Right? Wasn't written in English, written in Hebrew and where? Greek. In fact, the Greek is a translation of the Hebrew, is an explanation of the Hebrew translated to a Greek audience. Did you follow? Are you following me? Hallelujah. So it's an interpretation or an explanation of a Hebrew text explained to a Greek audience. So Greek. Did you get it? So today, the Greek and the Hebrew are not my language. In fact, even the Greek and the Hebrew over time has evolved. So I will have to look at language that is evolving and the word, the message of the gospel that is not evolving, but the same message, and be able to translate it to my world today. Are you hearing me? So I'm confronted with attacks. Confronted with attacks to my world, to my audience. Glory to God. So that is the task I'm faced with. And it's the task I must do as a pastor, as a leader, as a teacher. I was there to take on that task of interpretation. First, I must take the seat of the what? First audience and hear what they heard. I must take the seat of the first audience. I must take, if it is the New Testament section, which is the Greek, I must take the seat of the first audience, which is the early church, right? Take that seat. Sit in that seat. Hallelujah. And make sure I hear what they are hearing. Right? And then I must take note also that Bible language is written in man's language. Right? Bible is written in man's language. And because it is written in man's language, I have to do what? Read it well. I hope you are following me. So it's written in man's tongue. What will I do? I have to read it well and understand. Take notes. It wasn't written in my language, so I have to read it well. And because it wasn't written in my language, I have to go, I have today to go back, right? Right? And translate. So I will have to go back for sometimes for the original translation and interpret it to my word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I have that responsibility to go back and reread it. Reread it again, interpreting it to my word. Hallelujah. Because at the point of even translation, even from the Hebrew to the Greek, right? Even from the Hebrew to the Greek, you would what sometimes lose their original meaning, right? Because remember I said the Greek is a translation of the, or is an explanation that carries with it a translation of the Hebrew text. So the Greek text, when I get to see the Greek text, I want to say something that I don't think is right for me to say that. Let me pause. When I see the Greek text, I must read it with its own textbook. It has a textbook. What is the textbook? The textbook is the Old Testament books. So when I get to the New Testament section, or the epistles, the four gospels and the epistles, I must have at the background, because if I'm to take the seat of the first audience, when those letters were read to them, what do they have as their Bibles? The 39 books. Are you following me? They have the 39 books. So that means if I'm to take the seat of the first audience, when I open to the four gospels and the epistles, I will also have my Old Testament scriptures, because that is what they had as their Bible when coming to church. Are you following me? So when Paul writes in Corinth, so the church at Corinth, and is addressing their issue, they are all opening where? The 39 books. So I must also have that in mind. So that means that the four gospels and the epistles will make sense if I read them together with the 39 books. They will not stand alone outside the 39 books. I follow you. I must read them together. I follow you on that. I must do what? I must read them together and see together. Are you following me? Hope we are together.
Go to God.
Just the same way. Today in our world we had an example of what we redeemed. I think we have, let me go over it again. Just quick one. The word redeemed. When that word redeemed is the word gal. In the Hebrew, gal in the Hebrew, in the Hebrew, is a word used for a kinsman, how a kinsman stands up for his other kinsman. Okay, for a kinsman, like what you have, the next of kin. You understand? So when God entered into the covenant with Abraham, was to be Abraham's next of kin. So when God said, I will redeem you in Exodus to the children of Israel with an outstretched arm, hallelujah, glory to God, I will redeem you, meaning God is going to come down to Egypt as the kinsman redeemer. You know what I mean? As a kinsman savior. Hallelujah. What is a kinsman? Remember, a covenant is entered between who? It's a league of confederacy. When a weaker nation enters in with a stronger nation. So for what? One, for economic benefits. Two, to help for protection against what? Impending oppositions. Hallelujah. So when opposition are coming against me because of the fact that I am in a league with a bigger nation, they will come and defend me. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Glory to God. But maybe this does not actually relate to this, but let me just bring it in. It doesn't actually really relate to it. Like when you have insurgency in a nation, right? I don't want to use our country. Like in Mali, there was a time they had insurgency. Which country came for them? France. France deployed their troops. Do you understand? Why? Because they are allies. Today you call it allies, right? Allies. They were their colonial masters, something like that, right? So that is how it is. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that is what a kinsman redeemer is. So God comes in and delivers the children of Israel. Did God need to pay anything to Pharaoh? No. Hallelujah. So when you hear the word, also something you need to hear, I said earlier that you need to get, is the word narrative. So there are a lot of words, when you see them in the New Testament books, the Synoptic and the Epistles, you have to go back to the what? Old Testament book to reread the narrative, right? So when you hear the word redeem, you have to come back to reread the word redeem in the 39 book, because that is the first book, that is the dictionary. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So words in the four Gospels and the Epistles cannot stand alone. They depend on the Hebrew words. Are you following me? Glory to God. Glory to God. So, what are we saying? Now, that was redeemed. I come, God comes into Egypt and takes the children of Israel out. Now, when that word was to be translated to Greek, because there was no word for redeemed in Greek. Do you understand? Because there was no word for redeemed in Greek. So, what would the writer do? What would they do? They would look for a word, right? That best suits what God did. What God did is to show value. That God values the relationship he has entered with Abraham. So he leaves everything and comes to save the children of Israel. Are you seeing that? Are you following me? So that is the word that shows value. So they will now look again and say, what word shows value in our nation or in our language today? What is that? Money. Where will you find it in the marketplace? When I pay for something, right? It shows that I value that thing. So they will not use the word literacy, apolutron, right? Right? You find those words used. Why did they use those words? To show value. Now, if I now get to the Greek alone, and I read, and God redeemed, right? Redemption, redeemed. And you read it alone only in the Greek. Remember I said you have to go back to read that narrative in the Hebrew, right? Now if I read it alone only in the Greek, I would think God paid a price. And that man brought about the argument years back between me and my friend. Who did God pay the price to? What was the price? He said, our blood. So who did he pay it to? Did you see that? Because of the word literacy. Because of the word apolutron. Right? So who did he pay it to? Did he pay it to Satan? No, he can't pay a penny to Satan. God dealt with Satan. So who did he pay it to? Is it to God? No. God can't pay God to collect us. That means we're in captivity with God. Are you following me? So who did he pay it to? Question. Well, like a smart student, as I've always said, we just said, okay, we paid it as a demand of justice. That was just the biggest rubbish you can ever have one say. Hallelujah. Demand for justice. How? Who is justice? Because we were held up in what? In the Greek. Without seeing the fact that the Greek will use the word literosis. Though it's the word used for how you exchange money in the marketplace. Right? But they used it because that was a means of showing value. How you buy a slave. By paying money. So it means that I value the slave. Right? Right? So that's what we did. So Jesus will also give us a proverb to show redemption. He will say the kingdom of heaven can be likened unto a man who saw a land, who saw treasures in a land, and went back and sold everything he had and came to purchase the land. Do you understand this? He didn't come for the treasures, he came for the land. Did you see that? That is redemption. If you now start saying, what did he go to sell? What did he pay? Who did he pay to? You are not right. What Jesus has used that proverb to show you is that God values what he has seen. Hallelujah. So that also shows value. To show value, he said he sold all. That is value. That is redemption. Are you following that? That is what? Redemption. It only allows them to pay anything to anybody. Hallelujah. So when people say, he paid the debt, he did not owe, I owe a debt, I couldn't pay, I needed someone to wash away my sin. And then I sing about his song, amazing grace. Lord Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. Paid which debt to who? Hallelujah. To who did he pay it to? Glory to God. Glory to God. God delivered it. So that deliverance is what? Redemption. Are you following me? That deliverance is the redemption. That deliverance is to show value. God values me. Hallelujah. That is the lutron, the apolutrosis. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So my work is to translate. So I have to translate. I have to translate between those two words, that is between the Greek and the Hebrew, translate it rightly and pass it to my audience in their language. Hallelujah. So Bible study is not a rush. I said that over and again. No one who listens to me studies his or her scriptures in a rush. No. You cannot study in a rush. No. Hallelujah. You take your time. You build it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We said in interpretation, right, I must understand what was their culture. You know, when I take the first seat, I'm seeing and hearing what they are. I must also understand what was the culture of that day and understand how words were used. Right? Right? How words were used. And we say in how words were used, we look at what? Proverbs, right? Right? We looked at proverbs and parables, figures of speech. That was how they used words. They used those things to point to what they are saying. Hallelujah. So that is why I always tell people that the book of Proverbs cannot stand on its own. The book of Proverbs is an explanation of what? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy in what? Illustration. In Proverbs. It can't stand on its own. It's a book of what? All things being equal. Are you following me? So if I'm reading the book of Proverbs, I'm reading it together with Moses' five books. Hope you are following me. Glory to God. Glory to God. But that was how they wrote in their day. To write in those four points. Glory to God. Lastly, one to the last. He says, I should understand the audience of the writer, right? So you must know the audience of the writer and unify them together, right? Identification unifies together. Like how Paul unifies the audience of Moses, or unifies his audience with that of Moses in conduct, right? In conduct is 1 Corinthians 3. He unifies them in conduct. In 1 Corinthians 10, he unifies them in conduct with Moses' audience. He didn't say they are Moses' audience. No, he unifies their conduct. Right? He found a common ground, unifies them, and gives them what? The same instruction that Moses will give to his audience. Are you following me? Because why? Walking in the flesh will make a man act like an unbeliever, though he is not. Number 5, very important, as we proceed, we must pay the most attention to background. Background. When I say background, I understand we know background to be what has happened, what is happening in the church, what was said earlier, right? Pretext, post-text, yes. But beyond pretext and post-text, I must also look at the background as regards the what was happening in their world. What was happening in their world? Remember, when you read, I said, the book of Genesis, right? What Moses was saying was, Moses was also answering questions in their world and talking about what the oracles of God, using the oracles of God, was speaking to them and answering questions in their world. Hallelujah. So you must look at what was happening in their world. Very important. And that is why mostly you find Moses used the seed to be the seed of the woman. Whether seed of the woman or seed of man, is not, there's no difference. But Moses will particularly take the seed of the woman. Why? Because the woman was regarded as a nobody. Are you following me? In their world. So I must know what was happening in their world. He will use woman for who? Isaiah. Isaiah is used for God. But he will bring in the woman to show the importance, because women were treated as not. So just to bring value, to make you know that, hey, though that is what is happening in the world, in Christ's kingdom, we are the same. Hallelujah. He gave the woman voice more than the man. Why? It was deliberate. He gave her voice. So he said most of when he writes, he spoke more of what the woman said. Not that the man didn't say anything, but he could speak loud the woman's words. Why? It is deliberate. Hallelujah. So what was obtainable in their world will be seen as theology. In fact, also you must look at the geography. The geography. Geography is also theology. Geography is theology. Hallelujah. Look at Jesus. He came to Caesarea Philippi. Why did he wait till he got to Caesarea Philippi to ask them? In Matthew 16, verse 13. He waited. Hallelujah. Till he got to Caesarea Philippi and he asked them, who do men say that I am? Where is Caesarea Philippi? Caesarea Philippi in Matthew 13, Matthew 16, verse 13, is where Caesar is called Lord. Are you following me? Where Caesar is called Lord. And he gets to Caesarea Philippi and he asks them, who do men say that I am? Did you see that? And he says, you are the Christ. So what he has just done is to say, hey, Caesar is saying where Caesar is called Lord. Hallelujah. That is geography. Geography, that is where Caesar stays. Are you following me? And Caesar is called Curious Lord. And he says, hey, Caesar is not the Lord. I am the Lord. Are you following me? So he waited for that. So geography is theology. Or geography points us to theology. It's scriptures. So don't throw away geography. Are you following me? Don't throw that away. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. On Mount Moriah. Look at on Mount Moriah. What did Abraham do? Abraham was going to sacrifice. We say it's a teaching class, right? So he showed Isaac, this is what God will do, right? And he called, from there, he said, he called God Jehovah Jireh, right? He said, God, he says to Isaac, Jehovah Jireh, God will provide himself a lamb. So what did Jesus do? Jesus went on Mount Moriah. Are you following me? And that was when he was killed. That was when he died. Are you following me? That is theology. Years before, Abraham did that on Mount Moriah. Years after, Jesus was killed. Are you following me? And Jesus would tell, he said, Abraham, what is it? He said, Abraham on Mount Moriah saw my day and was glad. Are you following me? So that is theology. Glory to God. Glory to God. Are you following me? Look at Jacob. Jacob had a vision. And he saw angels going up and coming down. Angels going up and coming down. What did he do? He named that place. Right? He named it Bethel. Hallelujah. That is theology. In John 1, verse 45. John will write and call it that what he saw was the resurrection. Are you following me? Hallelujah. The resurrection. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
John 1 verse 35. I need you to see that together. Let's see that together. Sorry, not 45, verse 50. Or 51. He said to him, Moses said to him, speaking to Nathanael, he says, I said to you, thereafter, you will see heaven open and the angels of God descending and, ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. That was the resurrection. He's quoting from Genesis. This is in Genesis. Are you following me? Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So they were true with geography. No, they're very important. Very important. Amen.
Amen.
So he's looking at that. Glory to God. In looking at that, we said geography presents us with theology. But not theology. Therefore, I will not ask myself, we are reading the book of Corinth. Where is Corinth? What is Corinth? Hallelujah. That's not said Corinth. The Corinth church, first of all, is a church planted by Paul. We are going to see that. Sure. Hallelujah. But Corinth, in those days, Corinth just came out after the other. No, Corinth has been in existence. Hallelujah. You are right, has been in existence before Christ. Hallelujah. About 746 BC, before Christ. We have the Corinth. So ancient Corinth, are you with me? Ancient Corinth is actually a polis area, what you call a polis area. In those days, is what you describe as a city-state. A city-state. Are you following me? Polis is a city-state. A commercial hub of that time. A commercial hub of that time. Like you have a New York City. You have a Lagos State. A Lagos State. Hallelujah. A Lagos State. A city state. Like a Lagos State. A commercial hall. A cosmopolitan area. So what are the things you find in such environments? A place where there is a market hall. What do you find in a market hall? You find people from different walks of life there. Right? So if you find people from different walks of life there, that means in that church where Paul planted, you'll find a mixed culture. You'll find the Greeks there. You'll find the Jews there. Are you following me? You find the Greeks there. You find the Jews there. So the reason why Paul, you'll find a lot of slaves there. Right? Right? You'll find rich people there. You'll find slaves there too. So, read my Paul in 1 Corinthians. Look at what Paul will answer in 1 Corinthians. I really need you to see this. 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. Verses 13. It says, for in one spirit, we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greek. This is what you'll find in such an area, right? Different people like you have in Lagos. Right? You have different people on different walks of life. Right?
Yes,
you have poor, rich, multitudes. Okay. So he said, we're only baptized into one body, right? Whether Jews or Greek, which is Israelis, those who are Jews, right? And Greeks, other tribes, right? Whether slaves or free, did you see that? We are not being made to drink into one spirit. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So this is what you have in such areas. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You have different people from different walks of life. Rich, poor, average people, men who have houses, rich, you have Jews and different lives. That area is a civilized area. It's a town. It's civilized area. So you will find civilization. Are you following me? You find civilization.
Wow, why did I say this?
You find civilization. You find different belief systems. You find different belief systems. and different belief system will come. Men that come together will come with their different kind of gods. So different idol, different kind of worship, different idol worship. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Such kind of area, what other thing will you find? You will find sexual immorality. Are you following me? You find sexual immorality. This is why Paul would now say to that brother, to say to them in chapter 5, because that brother, I said, let's look at 1 Corinthians 5, 1. It says, as such as you not even heard from the Gentiles. Meaning that was what was in that environment. Are you following me? Look at it in verse 5, chapter 5. It says, I actually reported that there is sexual immorality amongst you, and such sexual immorality as it has not even been named among the Gentiles. I quickly stated it. Not that there was no sexual immorality among the Gentiles. Stated this one, that a man should have his father's wife. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Yeah. This one is strange. The strangest of all. Do you get it? Glory to God. So when you say the Gentiles, that is those that are without. Right? You know who has it. So that's where you find sexual immorality. Hallelujah. Because when you call it a commercial hub, who would you find there also? You find Roman soldiers there. You find Roman soldiers there because it's a commercial hub. You find them there in their numbers. And you know, the history had it that the Roman soldiers were the most brutal soldiers in the world, in terms of their rape, during that era, rape, molestation and things like that. Hallelujah. In fact, they had the highest form of rape, sexual immorality. Not like rape, that's wrong thing. Hallelujah. If any has surmounted that, I don't know. But that is what I know. Glory to God. They have the highest. Hallelujah. So you have, I tag it together, strange behaviors. Strange behaviors. Before we get to look at the things in the church, which I pray we have time to look at. Hallelujah. Before we get to look at the things in the church, let's take a look at some characters we have in the church as Corinth. Some characters we have in the church as Corinth. Okay. Let's rush through the characters. The characters in Corinth. First, we have a brother called Sosthenes. Sosthenes. You find him in 1 Corinthians, you find him in 1 Corinthians 1:1. Paul mentions his name. Interestingly, he says, Paul, called to be an apostle. Or not called to be, called. Paul, called an apostle of Jesus Christ, through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. Hallelujah. Sosthenes, our brother. So, we'll find him also in Paul's visit to Corinth, or when the church was founded in Acts of Apostles chapter 18. Remember I said Paul founded the church, Acts of Apostles chapter 18. So we'll find his name there. Glory to God. We'll find his name there. Acts 18. Look at verse 17. I'll start from verses 9. Then the Lord spoke. Or let's quickly do a quick read from verses 1 so you understand. That is when Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and he came to them. So because they were of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for by occupation they were tentmakers, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. And when Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ.
Verse 6. But when they opposed him and blasphemed, he shook his garments and said to them, your blood be upon your own head. I'm clean from now on. I will go to the Gentiles. And he departed from there and entered the house of a certain man named Justus. One who worshipped God, whose house was next door to the synagogue. Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with his household, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. But the Lord spoke to Paul in the vision by the Spirit, saying, do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you or hurt you, for I have many people in this city. And he continued there 1 year and 6 months, which is 18 months, teaching the word of God among them. When Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews with one accord rose up against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat. You see that? The Jews rose up against him, saying, this fellow persuaded men to worship God contrary to the law. And when Paul was brought to, was about to open his mouth, Gallio said to the Jews, if it were a matter of wrongdoing or wicked crimes, O Jews, there would be reason why I should bear with you. But in the question of words and names in your own law, look to it yourselves, for I do not want to be judged of this matter. Do you understand? And he drove them from the judgment seat. Then all the Greeks. Okay. And all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the ruler of the synagogue. Did you see that? The ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. But Gallio took no notice of these things. Did you see that? So he's a brother. Hallelujah. In fact, Sosthenes is an ally of Paul. Hallelujah. An ally of Paul. A believer. Glory to God. A believer. An ally of Paul. The Bible says he was beaten. Right? He was beaten. Why did they beat him? On the same issue why Paul was brought to the council. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Glory to God. So it's Paul's ally. Paul called him a brother. Paul's ally. So he was beaten on behalf of the reason why Paul was taking him. Another character we'll find in Corinth will be Chloe. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses... Are you there? 1 Corinthians 1, verses 11, say, for I have been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions amongst you. But you see what? Now, so it is believed that Chloe is... Chloe's household. It's believed that the Chloe was like a cell system, the brethren, or the Chloe is the brethren or the brother whose house was used as church. Hallelujah. This house was used as church. So they use this place for church. They gathered in this place. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Some also believe he was the pastor of the church, but he gathered in his place. Hallelujah. Another person we find in Corinth is the brother Crispus. Crispus. In Acts 18, what we just read, his name came up in verses 8. Acts 18, verses 8, his name came up there. He says, and then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord and his household, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Hallelujah. So Crispus is the ruler of the synagogue who got saved. Paul mentions his name in 1 Corinthians also.
Let's see.
Verse 14 says, I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius. Did you see that? He believed that he was baptized.
Hallelujah. Are you following me? Hallelujah. So, it was the ruler of the synagogue who got saved, and Paul baptized him with water. Did you see that? What about another person called Gaius? Look at that. He said, I baptized only Crispus and Gaius. Right? Right? Gaius. I'm going to see he's talking about water baptism. Gaius. Gaius was Paul's companion. In Acts 19, we'll find him with Paul. Acts 19, quickly. Acts 19 verse 29. It says, so the whole city was filled with confusion and rushed into the theater, and with one accord, having seized Gaius and Aristarchus, Macedonians, Paul travels companions. You see that? Paul's travel companion. Are you following me? So, Gaius is Paul's companion. In Acts 20 verse 4, and Sopha of Berea accompanied him to Asia also. Aristarchus and Secundus, of the Thessalonians, and Gaius of Berea, and Timothy, and Titus and Trophimus of Asia. These men going ahead waited for us at Troas. You see that? They are Paul's travel companion. Paul will send greetings to him in Romans chapter number 20, Romans 16. Romans 16, verse 23. It says, Gaius, my host, and the host of the whole church, greets you. Did you see that? Erastus, the treasurer of the city, greets you. Did you see that? So Gaius was someone Paul recommended. What was his activity? He was always traveling with Paul, right? And he was a host to Paul. We also find Gaius with John in 3 John 1. John wrote him a letter. Hallelujah. Another character we'll find in Corinth is the character Stephanas. Stephanas. Look at verse 16. He says, yes, I do also baptize the household of Stephanas. Besides, I do not know whether I baptize any other. Did you see that? Stephanas. Stephanas. Who is Stephanas? Look at chapter 16. From verses 15 and 17. 15 to 17 says, the falsehood of Ikea, our example of the city, I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, and it is the first fruit of Ikea. First fruit, you know what first fruit means? Hallelujah. The first that got saved in that household, right? Hallelujah. The first that got saved and others followed. So the first fruit of Ikea, and that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. I want you to take note of that. Hallelujah. Verse 16. That you also submit to such, and that to everyone who works and labors with us. So it's a laborer with Paul. Hallelujah. It's a laborer with Paul. He's a devout man, right? He gives to the ministry of the saints. Verse 17. I am glad about the coming of Stephanas, Fortunans, and Acascos, for what was lacking on your part, they supplied. They have refreshed my spirit with yours. Therefore, acknowledge such men. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, he's a man committed
to Paul with Paul. Hallelujah. Paul's man. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. And is one of the leaders in that church. Also, another character we'll find is Timothy. But Timothy is a special character. Hallelujah. You find Timothy in almost all Paul's writings, apart from his writing to the church in Galatia. Because the book of Galatia was one of Paul's first book, and he wrote that book before he met before he met Timothy. Hallelujah. So that's the only book you won't find Timothy. He is saying all of Paul's writing. In fact, Paul had to send him to Ephesus. Hallelujah. So I want to call him Paul's man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you a pastor's man? Can your pastor be that? Can your pastor trust to commit works to your hand? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at what it says concerning Timothy. 1 Corinthians 4, 17. It says, for this reason I've sent Timothy to you. Which reason? He says, though you may have 10,000 instructors, verse 15, in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers, for in Christ I have begotten you to be God. So therefore I all do to imitate you. For this reason, which reason? For them to imitate him, I have sent Timothy to you. He wanted them to know, to imitate him as Paul. He sent Timothy. Did you see that? I sent Timothy to you. Who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ and teach everyone in every church. So he can commit his work to Timothy. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Timothy. Say, imitate me and I will send Timothy. So the imitating him is not to start talking like Paul, no. But what is imitation? To instruct you. So he will teach you like I will do. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Look at chapter 16, verse 10. We'll see, look at Timothy as a character next week before we proceed. 16, verse 10. He says, and if Timothy comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he does the work of the Lord as I also do. What a commendation. What a commendation. I once asked somebody, can your pastor commend you like Paul will commend Timothy? Can your pastor commend you like Paul will do what? Commend Timothy. It's as important as that. Glory to God. If you can give me a minute, let me check something. Look at Philippians. Let's just take a look at Timothy. Philippians 1. Oh, Philippians 2:19. Look at what Paul says. He says, but I trust in the Lord to send Timothy to you shortly, and I may also be encouraged when I know of your state. He says, look at what he said about Timothy in verse 20. He says, for what? For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. Like-minded. Hallelujah. Those are strong words. Hallelujah. Those are what? Strong words. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
In Acts of Apostles chapter 18, where we read, when Paul was in Corinth, Timothy was there with him and Silas.
Hallelujah. He was there when the church was planted. He was there with him.
Hallelujah. So Paul, you'll find Timothy around with Paul.
Always around him. Another character you'll find is Apollos. Apollos. I guess we should take Apollos before we... Apollos was a visiting minister in Corinth.
Hallelujah. Look at Acts 19 verse 1.
Was a visiting minister. He dropped by, saw the church, and continued his journey. Acts 19:1. I need to see this. Acts 19:1. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper region, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive?"
Now, meaning Apollos visited where?
Corinth.
He visited Corinth.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
In chapter 18, verse 24, Apollos showed up.
He said, "A certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in scriptures, came to Ephesus." This is that an eloquent man, mighty in scriptures. Let's look at him. When you use the word eloquent, is the word logios. Logios. L-O-G-I-O-S. Is the word used to for one who is learned in scriptures. One who is learned. Hallelujah. So meaning he was eloquent will mean he was learned. Are you following me? A man who is taught well. John says, and mighty in scriptures came to Ephesus. Right? Verse 25. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord. That word instructed is the word katechio or katechio. K-A-T-E-C-H-E-O. K-A-T-E-C-H-E-O, katechio. And what do you find in Luke 1:4, Acts 21:21, Acts 21:24, Luke 1:4, Acts 21:24, Acts 21:21, Acts 21:24, Romans 2:18, 1 Corinthians 14:19, Galatians 6:6. Hallelujah. It's a word that involves to be taught by words of mouth. To be what? Taught by words of mouth. So that means he was instructed. He was taught. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Come on, are you here?
Yes, sir.
Why are you guys quiet?
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
We are quiet. I was still talking.
So instructed in the word of the Lord. And fervently the Spirit is spoken and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he only knew John's baptism. When you say you only knew John's baptism, don't start thinking you only was being just come baptized with water. They said he explained he was, what we use, he was eloquent, he was learned. Right? He was instructed, meaning he was taught by words of mouth. But they said the only he was eloquent in scriptures. That is, he was learned in scriptures. But his interpretation of scriptures was John's baptism. What does that mean? Let's look at that word baptism of John. So I will know what baptism of John means.
Baptism of John is not actually water baptism. Hallelujah. Baptism of John means John's teaching. John's sermon.
He knew only John's explanation. Remember John was a prophet. Just like saying, what he knew was John's explanation of scriptures. Do you understand me? John's explanation.
Look at Acts 19, just a chapter after. Acts 19, verse 3-4. He said, and he said to them, into what are you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. Look at what Paul said. And Paul said to them, John is baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying.
So John's baptism was a teaching. Are you following me? What you now have as the act of putting them into water was a symbol to point to his teaching. Are you hearing me? Look at chapter 7. Look at chapter 13, verse 24.
John 13:24. John 13:24. Let me have it. Are you there? He says, and when John had first preached before the coming of, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, when he had first preached the baptism of repentance. Did you see that? So it was a teaching. Look at chapter 10, verse 46. This is Peter in the house of Cornelius. Hallelujah. Mm. So read Acts number 46. Acts 10:37. 37. It says, Acts 10:37. It says, the word I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. That word preached, the word announced. Did you see that? Paul, he preached it. So it was a message. Are you following me? It was a what? Message. So when they say he was instructed and he knew only John's baptism, he knew John's explanation of things. Hallelujah. And what happened? The Bible says Aquila and Priscilla took him in and taught him. This is that. So who is Aquila and Priscilla? In the name you also find. Aquila and Priscilla are Paul's allies. See, they were tent makers. They are tent makers like Paul in Acts 18 verse 3. Right? They were tent makers. Glory to God. So that means when it says they brought him, it means they taught him. Right? They instructed him, that is, they taught him well. Glory to God, they took him in, they explained scripture to him, now not just for John's baptism, they did a diamenio for him. The Jonathan did a diamenio for him and his eyes were open. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, when Apollos visited Corinth, that caused confusion amongst them, amongst many of the brethren. Look at chapter 1 of 1 Corinth, chapter 1. It caused confusion. There were now contention. Chapter 1. He said, now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas. Some say, or arm of Christ. Says Christ divided. This is that. In chapter 3, verse 4. Look at what they said again. It says, for one says, I am of Paul, another arm of Apollos. Are you not all carnal? Did you see that? Hallelujah. Verse 5. It says, who then is Paul? Who then is Apollos? But ministers, through whom you believe, and the Lord gave to each one. Did you see that? Verse 6. I planted Apollos, what about the Lord giveth the increase? Did I say that? Hallelujah. Verse 7. So is neither he who plants anything nor he who waters anything. Are you following me? Look at 22 quickly. It says whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, for your sake, right? What do you mean? Glory to God. Apollos. So they had contention over who was their MOG. Who is your man of God? Who is your pastor? Some people say, he's Apollo because he was eloquent. Eloquency. No. Hallelujah. No. But you know something? There's something I want to show you. Paul didn't get angry with Apollo. Paul. But Apollo was a good minister. Is his church that he planted, right? They were the ones who were not discerning to know who their father is. And Paul said, you will have 10,000 what? Instructors. Say, I begat in the Lord. Do you get that? That is, this is my place. So if people can come to visit, you must know who your father is in the Lord. Hallelujah. Who your pastor is. That is the better word to use. I don't want to use the word father in the Lord. Hallelujah. That is the better word, right? Hallelujah. Who your pastor is. Glory to God. Glory to God. There's some people who have, I have different pastors, though. I have a prosperity pastor, I have a prophet, I have the, come on! Hallelujah! You see, multiplicity of pastors, around multiplicity of ministers you listen to around you causes confusion, but people don't know. Look, an example is the church in Corinth. They have different pastors. Hallelujah, come to visit them. What did he cause for them? Confusion, division, strife. I hope you are following me. Hallelujah. But you know, Paul, like I said, Paul didn't get angry with Apollos, no. Verse 22 of 1 Corinthians, I mean, okay, we'll read that. Hallelujah. Oh, I thought I picked these scriptures. Okay, chapter 16, verse 12. 1 Corinthians 16, 12. Look at 1 Corinthians 16, 12. It says, now concerning your brother, now concerning our brother, did you see that? He calls Apollos our brother. So he's not saying, that pastor that came. No, it was your member who was, who were not grounded on who their pastor really was. Are you hearing me? That's not the pastor that visited. He says, concerning our brother, I strongly urge him to come to you with the brethren. But he is quite unwilling to come at this time. However, he will come when it's when is a convenient time. Did you see that? Paul is saying, Apollos will not come to my church. No, no, no. Hallelujah. But he has dealt with the issue. How did he deal with it? He said, I, Paul, plan the Lord. He said, Apollos, what the Lord given the issue? Meaning Apollos own his own water to edify you. Are you following me? Say, who did the issue? The Lord. He then says, you can have 10,000 instructors, but you can only have one pastor. Are you following me? Yes, this often. So he said, I will still send him again. Glory to God. In Titus chapter 3, verse 13, Paul said to Titus, in Titus 3, quickly. I hope you are following me, understanding it. Titus 3, verse 13. It says, send Zenas and send Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey with haste, that they may lack nothing. You see that? That they may lack nothing. This is an instruction. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It tells him that they may lack nothing. And let our people also learn to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs, as they may not be unfruitful. So what I have in my note is that Paul instructed Titus to send them in what that they may lack nothing. So he sent that the church should help them as they continue their journey. Are you following me? Another character we have, which I was talking about, was Priscilla and Aquila. I guess we're going to exalt that from the character for now. So let's look at something else while it's still raining. Hallelujah. Let's delve into some of the themes, or issues in Corinth. Hallelujah. Some of the themes or issues in Corinth. So we might not be able to round them up today, but something we'll get to a point and then we'll continue next week and get into chapter 1 and read it together. Hallelujah. So while we read that, we'll explain. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. So we'll read the things from the issues into the solutions. Then we'll read everything together. So I will explain the things from the issues in the church to Paul's solution. Remember I said, in Paul's revelation of identification, you must bring in who and who. You must bring in his encounter with Stephen, because he was there. So you must bring in Stephen's teaching, right?
And then you bring in his encounter in chapter 9 with the Lord, right?
Bring them together. You'll find that he spoke about who? I mean, he heard the teaching of the temple and Jesus' identification with the believers. So that will form Paul's revelation of identification. Hallelujah. Paul's revelation of identification, you'll find it there. Hallelujah. When he was going to Damascus to deal with the brethren, and Jesus said, I am he who you persecute. And before that, he has heard what? The temple. God dwells not in temple made with hands. He said, what house is it that you build for yourself? Say, I have not made it all. So he's telling you that the temple is not the bricks. So when Jesus says, I am he who you persecute, his mind goes back to Stephen and says, that is the temple. He dwells in there. I believe that is the identification. Hallelujah. So Paul will bring that thing in his writing. We're going to see that. Hallelujah. So I think we'll approach the things from where? The issues and then the solution that Paul provides. Hallelujah. Then we'll read everything to see what he's talking about. Hallelujah. Amen. Then we'll get to the chapter 15 where people call hallmark for rapture. We'll see. Glory to God. And you'll be able to see, you read from chapter 1 down to 15, you'll be like, where did he get rapture from? He's just stupidity. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's look at some of the things. Things or issues. Then we'll look at also, something else popped now. But we'll look at that next week. Hallelujah. Okay. It says the issues in, let's look at 1 Corinthians 11. 11:17, 1 Corinthians 11:17. I guess I will read fast now. 1 Corinthians 11:17. By continuing this pace, we will not finish this teaching in the next 6 months. 1 Corinthians 11, are you there? Look at verse 17. It says, now in giving thanks, in giving this instruction, sorry, I do not praise you, seeing that when you come together, it's not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there's divisions amongst you, and in part I believe. In part I believe. So their issues is, they have issues when they come together, when they gather. And when they come together, they have divisions. So I can put it like this, that their issue is what? Their gathering. So when Paul is to address them, he will address the gathering. Hallelujah. So we have in here the theme of walking in the flesh when they gather. The theme of walking in the flesh. Walking in the flesh. In chapter 1, verse 10, he said, we heard from who? From a Chloe's household, right? From the household of Chloe, that there is what? Contentions amongst you. That is the word divisions. Cheating. S-C-H-I-S-N. Cheating. Divisions. Divisions. That's the word division. Hallelujah. Divisions amongst you. It's a word used for factions. Factions. They have factions. Glory to God. Look at in verse 25 of 1 Corinthians 12, becomes a solution, but when you read together, you begin to see, I said I'm going to be careful in saying this, but I want you to see it together when we read. Look at verse 25 of 1 Corinthians 12. It says, and there should be no cheating, that's the word, there should be no division. This is that in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. This is that care. That is, then he jumped into chapter 13 and thought of love. Did you see that? And taught them love. So you must see that. To have care for one another. So there is division. The theme of division. Some will say, I am of Paul. I am of Apollos. I am of Cephas. You see that? Some will not say, I am of the Lord. What man? I call those ones word men. You say you are for Paul. You say you are for you have to understand the scriptures. I'm of Christ.
Hallelujah.
I'm of Christ. Word men. Word men say nonsense. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Word men. I'm of Christ. I belong to everybody, but I belong to no one. Woo! Funny. Amen. Amen. You have such kind of divisions. In fact, you have divisions in chapter 11. Paul shows us that, Paul shows us that they had also division in when they gather to eat. When they gather and bring food. He said that division led some to even fell sick and some died. This is that. Died not because they, some people say it's because they ate Holy Communion in an unworthy manner. No. Hallelujah. Because they do not care for those who do not have. For those ones suffering in hunger and diet. Do you see that? So that will also paint for us a theme of sharing. Do you see that?
But we'll get there. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
They had that kind of division. They have divisions like that. They also had, I want to say, those people that say, I am of Christ, those are word men. So we had that division of word men. I'll bring that out for us shortly. That division of word men. Look at chapter 8. when I was studying that, I was just laughing. Paul didn't tell us that, but I just thought those guys that said, I am of Christ, that the ones that will join that group that did this in chapter 8. Look at what they did. From verses 1, just let's read the guy say, now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. If anyone thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing, yet as he ought to know. For if anyone loves the Lord, he say, if anyone knows anything, mean knowledge. Do you see that? Word man. No, but if anyone loves God, let this be known. Therefore, concerning eating of things offered to idol, we know that an idol is we know. And an idol is nothing in the world, but there's no other God but one. You know that. You know the way Paul is coming. You know that Paul is about to address word men. His word men is about to address. You know. You look at how. Okay, let's read it. Let's see it again. Say if you say if look at how it starts. He said, you know, we all know we have knowledge. And knowledge pops up, but love edifies. So it's going somewhere in verse 1. This is the love edifies. You see? It says, if anyone thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing, yet as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, he is one. This one is known by him. Therefore, concerning eating of things offered to idols. This is that. He's now approaching the matter. He has said knowledge, though. No, what men? He's about to address what men. Therefore, concerning things, eating things, because this is that men are saying, but what men? The Bible says we eat deadly things, they do not want us. sacrifice at them. Oh, I know it's nothing. The Bible says, our God is one. There's no other God. They will quote us, there's no other God. To sing, neither is there any rock like our God. They will know you have the word. We salaman. You have the word. It's nothing. Did I just say that? Okay, we'll get there. That will be we'll get there, but not yet. That will be chapter 9. We'll get there. The word man. What do we Paul now addresses it to? I've heard some people say they don't eat meat. Why don't they eat meat? They say because before they kill cows in abattoir, they usually do some incantations. They usually do some sacrifices. I hope you know that. They go, no, that is meat sacrifice to idol. They say, no, we don't eat meat. They say, no, we are one man. Yeah. Paul addressed everything. Hallelujah. Because so it didn't just start today. It has started since.
You don't tame. You're like that old man. We know the word. What the word? You're carrying the meat. You knew that they used it to do a fala. You know that something they sacrificed when they were doing something in Oba. I didn't say anything they were doing in Oba. I didn't say a word, but you know that when they were doing something in Oba. Hallelujah. We saw that they prayed and the brother, another brother was there. He just carried it. I watched one Mount Zion film years back. Hallelujah. The guy came to visit a very, very primitive village. I'm not sure you guys were born when I watched him. Some of you, not all of you. Yeah, was very good. Hallelujah. So he visited a primitive village and he came as an evangelist. I was hungry. Very old Mount Zion film. I guess I watched it when we were still at M4. We left M4 2002. So if I was still at M4 and I watched that movie, it should be around 90 something. Or 2000. So the guy was now calling the name of their God. Called the name. They didn't believe him. So, but that night, they were having, he was on top of three. You know what I'm saying? And he was hungry, he was praying, Lord, give me food. They were now doing their oro. When they were dodging on the sacrifice, they were now grounded it under the tree. When they have gone, he said, Lord, I thank you. He came and said, whack the whole food and climb over. The next morning, when they came, Oro has eaten the food. we had this silly that time. Somebody now came up, one of my mom's friends came up and I said, no! This is not scriptingly. Shouldn't be watching this thing. I said, I don't believe that because that was my teacher. I said, no, how can you eat food sacrificed to idols? No, say that one, that part, they did not act it well. You see, I've stayed on the side of the device.
What?
I've stayed on the side of the word man and the man who is called. So, there are people like that. And now they want to say, no, we eat it. In the Bible says, you eat deadly things, shall not hurt you. Somebody wants to say, you eat deadly things, shall not hurt you. I say, okay. Let me give you the relaxer. I'm like, no. I say, okay. Let me give you a tap here. You know, I know the word. I did something one year like that. I was telling a brother, my life is not in my blood. My life is in my spirit. I don't have, you know, even if you drain my blood, I will still be alive. I'll still be walking. You know what I'm saying? The young guy is nowhere. This man come. I have this blade, let me cut you. Your life is not your blood. It's not my blood. I have Zoe. Even if my blood goes out, I'll be alive. He said, let me just fear you and see if you have pain. I didn't know I will have pain, but my life is not in your blood. You come out and bust your stomach. I said, get it behind me. Get it behind me. But you know what? I was just a stone in my flesh right here. Then I got to say, I look who I am. So just looking at me, okay? My life is hidden Christ in God. He said, yeah. So my life is, you know what I'm saying? My life is not in my blood. You will drain my blood. There's something I want to say, but I will not say it here. I won't say it now. I will not even say it on the pulpit. Hallelujah. The love is not my blood. Actually, don't say that. Let's continue. I wanted to now go ahead and say what I wanted to say. I will not say. Hallelujah. So, you know, say those things that, let me give you this. The day he now swallowed. He swallowed, I also swallowed the alpha. He swallowed a bunch of relaxer. I said, which, what will you do now? Relaxer that takes up your, by mistake, he swallowed it. Then when we're doing Jellicoil, that was cutting the air, was very, that then tapped. Hallelujah. I get to meet me. I said, no, my life is through my blood. He said, I believe the power of God. We don't take drugs. He said, yeah, I believe the power of God. It was fine. I said, hey, your life is not your blood. Hallelujah. On several occasions, there were times we swallowed like that. And we said, nothing. Have the life of God in me. That is true. We have the love of God in us. No sickness in my body. No sickness. That's what we say. Don't lose down over that. Hallelujah. Don't. Though there are some things we, like we're joking now. Right? But don't lose down. The power of God is working in me. Stronger than any disease. Stronger than anything. Than any germ. Than any virus. The power of God is in me. Even if my body, my blood gets contaminated, the power of God is in me, causing the change and effect in the cure.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I believe it so rugged issue today. I say to myself always, the power of God is working in me. Working in my organs, working in myself. I say to you today, that even if I don't have blood in my body, I will be alive. The power of God is in me. You know what it means, the power of God? The power of God suspends natural course of things. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? Suspend natural course of things. There can be natural course of things, but hey, I believe the power of God. Hallelujah. Never play it down in your head. Never. Never. Hallelujah. I'm not telling you a sign of our store talk that we just joke around it, but I never seen
see.
I've seen people lost blood and die, but I still think, even if I lose all my blood, I refuse to die. I refuse to pass out. No! The power of God is working. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Glory to God. Even with all this COVID-19, I observe the precautions and things like that. You can see my sanitizer. I observe precautions. They stand myself fine. But you know what? If the virus gets to me, it will leave. I trust the power of God. I don't allow that thought of what if you contact the virus. I don't allow it to come close. Whenever I say, if it gets to me, it will pass out. Hallelujah. That is how I believe the power of God. Hallelujah. Creation says there's a flu around. He says it's not going to cover his nose. No, because he will trust the power of God. He will trust the power of God. He will trust the power of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
I trust
the power of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When even I trust the power of God.
Suspending natural events.
Suspending natural course of events. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Come on. Come on. So, Paul, we left off from 1 Corinthians 8, right? Yes. Talking about the church. Says divisions. Now, they have divisions at this point. That, see, he says, okay, look at verse 7. He says, however, there is not every... Okay, look at verse 6. He says, for yet... There's one God, the Father. You see, I told you, he's dealing with those guys that said they are of Christ. Look at how he's coming. He said, even there, okay, when he said, therefore, concerning eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is not, we're coming to this thing, is nothing in the world, and there's no other God but one. So when he said, an idol is nothing in the world, he's reading Egypt. He's taking them back to Egypt. He said, an idol is nothing. Oh, you know what? Idol, your mind goes to Egypt. And what Moses did in Egypt. Did you see that? Hallelujah. When we get to read it, I'll bring that for you to see. Are you following me? So even when they are so-called gods, verse 5, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many laws. Did you see that? Hallelujah.
I just told you that an idol is nothing, but he said, even though they are nothing. So he tells you an idol is nothing, does not mean there are no idols. You see that? Mainly God and Lord. So that's in verse 6. Say, yet for us, there is one God, the Father of whom all things, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live. However, there is not in everyone that knowledge. See, talking to knowledge, he says, there is not in everyone this kind of knowledge you have. You see? For some, with consciousness of idol until now, eat as a thing offered to idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. Did you see that? He says, but food does not commend us to God. Then that if we eat, are we better? He's not addressing those knowledgeable ones. He's like, if we eat, are we better? If we do not eat, are we worse? But beware, let somehow this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak. So he's addressing them to those who are not knowledgeable. Those are those who are weak. And says, in conclusion, says, if my meat will make my brother stumble, I'd rather not eat. Did you see that? So these are things we'll look at. It comes under the theme of what? Of what? We'll see together, walking in love. Now we're looking at the theme of walking in the flesh. So what I've been able to do, I've been able to identify the themes and separated it into two. Walking in love and walking in the flesh. Are you following? So we're now looking at sub-themes under this thing. So he's telling them they should walk in the spirit. Walking in love. Hallelujah. That's a theme. So he shows them the other way. So you're knowledgeable. But your knowledge, your being knowledgeable is nonsense when your brother stumbles. There's something that, while I was studying yesterday, I took a hold of it. What people call self-love. Scripture never teaches us self-love. It's bastardized. It's demonic. It's not of the Lord. What Scripture teaches us is brotherly love, not self-love. Self-love is selfishness. It's selfishness. That is a rebranding of being selfish. Is self-love. We will not take it and not put self-love. Have you ever seen it from your pastor? No. Or from your leader? So why are you writing it? Self-love. It's madness. It's a rebranding of being selfish. So if I'm going to teach a digital age child today selfishness on scripture, I'll not call it selfishness. I'll call it self-love. What is it now? Self-love. When life is all about me. When you tell them selfishness, they say selfishness means I don't want to tell what it's supposed to be for you, I hold it to myself. But you tell them self-love. Self-love. Scripture doesn't teach you self-love. Hallelujah. It doesn't teach you self-love. It teaches you what? Brotherly love. I am it. Glory to God. Satan is rebranding walking in the flesh and making it seem he's walking in the spirit. There is love there. No. Hallelujah. It's just a rebranding of names. There's nothing called self-love in scriptures. It's brotherly love. I know brotherly love. Hallelujah. That I just admire myself. Admire your brother. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So it shows that even division when it comes to food, they have division. Hallelujah. Food. Chapter 11. Food. Glory to God. Amen. I guess we should stop here today. We'll kick it off next week. Hallelujah. We'll take it off from strife, sexual immorality, idol worship. No, we'll just look at those things of idol worship. And then we'll look at the theme of the temple. Temple and how Paul now uses that to teach the theme of what? Walking in the spirit. So we'll start from temple to the spirit. Hallelujah. Have we learned something today?
Yes, sir.
Let's give our feedback to thank God.